to the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this along with our social media links, you can find all that at hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host with our sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, in the captain's chair, and he is steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is called 2000 to 2025, and today's reading will be out of John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Daily disclaimer, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. Additionally, I am not the official face or voice of the national, state, or county General Jural Assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of yourself and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. You know, I have to say that because if I happen to say something on here that somebody doesn't agree with, they'll pull the episode. Can't get canceled. Yes. I hope everybody's having a good day so far. Hope everybody's having a good day. So I was not initially going to be doing a podcast recording today. I definitely wasn't going to be doing a live. That much I do know. I was not going to be doing a live. Typically Sundays I do lives, but considering it is our Lord and Savior's Resurrection Day, I'm not even going to call it the holiday that we know it as on the calendar, considering it is a it's pretty much a celebration of Ishtar. I refuse to call it Easter because that's not what it is. Easter is, again, it's, you know, with the whole fertility god and goddess, right? The Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. That's what Easter is all about. I refuse to call this holiday Easter because that's what it is. It's a holiday, right? It's not a holy day. Well, it is a holy day because this is supposed to be when we celebrate our Lord and Savior's resurrection. Now, again, I don't know if this is really truly the day or if there's a different day. I don't know. Hopefully one day we'll know. But as far as I'm concerned, every day is a celebration of Christ and for that sacrifice that he made for us and for going through that amount of torment and pain and hell and agony of being whipped and being nailed by the wrist and the feet and being scourged while he was on that cross. Why? Because he was dying for you and I, so that we can be redeemed. And I tell you what, that is a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy that we have a God like that. We have a God, a Savior that's just like that. And I'm just so thankful for Jesus, for what he's done for us. So that's one of the reasons why this podcast is called His Hardline, because this is his podcast. All right. This is his podcast. I am just the guy who runs the technical stuff in the background. I'm the producer. I'm the content writer with the advisement of God and Jesus. And so, you know, I try my best to be led by them. But in case you didn't hear, ladies and gentlemen, the fake Biden regime basically made a declaration and you can go read it on whitehouse.gov. But Joe Biden is not only, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I guess I'm already on this topic. He's decided to make a proclamation that this March 31st, which is, again, supposed to be a day that Christians celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, he decides to make this day, according to him, Transgender Visibility Day. And so, you know, he's lighting up all the monuments, like, you know, where the World Trade Centers used to be, lighting all that up with rainbow-colored lights, and I guess supposedly the Niagara Falls is being lit up with rainbow-colored lights. It's like they don't have enough times, you know, days in the year to, you know, be celebrated, right? Not that I celebrate it, but, you know, they have a whole month, for crying out loud, and it's coming up, you know, in a couple months. They got June. They got to try to take away the day that Christians celebrate Jesus, really, and his resurrection. It's sick. When will people wake up? Speaking of Biden, again, fake Biden, but it doesn't matter. Office, whoever is sitting in that office, okay, whether if it's a body double or whatever, here's a headline that I came across. Joe Biden is not only allowing illegal criminals to invade your state, he is using your state and federal tax dollars to pay their rent. Well, Jason, where is that at? Michigan. So basically what he's offering is Michigan is offering homeowners $500 a month to house quote unquote newcomers. That's right. $500 a month. Well, they don't have a right to do that. Those are my tax dollars. Yeah, well, guess what? You've sat by idly on the sidelines and allowed a corporate de facto government get bigger and bigger and bigger and got so big that it can't even fit in its own britches, that now it's taking your tax dollars and my tax dollars, which is done unconstitutionally, by the way, unlawful theft. I mean, theft is unlawful anyways, but it's basically theft of the American people's money. And he's giving it to people who are housing illegal immigrants, illegal criminals who are invading this country, invading our state. That's lovely. I'm so happy about this president. It's so great. And people think that we have a... And people think that Biden is still better than, you know, is the best thing since sliced bread. Now, when you think the unthinkable can't happen again, keyword again, where another ship runs into another bridge, that's right, that happened again in 1 week. Except this time it didn't collapse. A barge in Oklahoma ran up in a support stand of a bridge in Oklahoma. This occurred yesterday, March 30th. Closed down the highway. It's now since reopened. But I'm just, you know, this is just Jason Jones speaking. I'm starting to think that these are not just accidental events. Now, is it possible that these could be accidental? It's possible. But come on, two of them now in the same week, one collapses a bridge, another one doesn't, but still big ships running into a bridge. And then just yesterday, here, just right up the road from my own hometown, I mean, even Ariel posted about it on X. We had a factory. I can't even remember the name of it now. What was that factory called now? I can't even remember. But anyways, we had a factory go up in smoke and was on fire just right up the road from me. And they had to evacuate about a half mile radius. Mobex, that's what it was. Mobex, that there just came right to me. Mobex. But they had to evacuate a half mile radius for fear that it would explode. And I got to honestly say, these are very interesting events that keep occurring. It seems like there is no stopping it either. Now, for me, it seems like within the last 24 to 25 years, we have witnessed an ever-increasing chaos in this country. From weather-manipulated events, because we know the weather is manipulated by HAARP and other technology that the deep state government has. We know this. We're seeing increased chaos from weather manipulated events to school shootings to quote unquote terrorist attacks to the burning down of our cities and police departments and fake pandemics and so on and so forth. You know, these things have increased in crazy intensity over the last quarter century. Wouldn't you agree? And now that's not to overlook and overshadow the fact that, look, there's always been chaotic events that have occurred in the, you know, in this country decade after decade, all throughout the 20th century. I mean, shoot, you know, we had the Gulf War from 1990 to 1991, where Iraq, you know, invaded Kuwait, and the United States led a coalition of countries in a military campaign to liberate Kuwait and expel Iraqi forces. There's no doubt that we saw those crazy riots occur in 1992 in California, which followed the acquittal of four police officers that were involved in beating Rodney King. That was quite chaotic. I think that went on for like, what, 6 days? Then you had the Oklahoma City bombings, right? Timothy McVeigh. Then you had the Columbine High School massacre in 1999, which took the lives, sadly, of 12 students and injured 21 others. Let's also not forget Hurricane Andrew, one of the largest hurricanes in the 90s, which struck, you know, South Florida, the Miami-Dade County area, which was a Category 5, which resulted in 65 fatalities. And then you had, you know, the Northridge earthquake, January 17th of 1994, which resulted in a 6.7 magnitude. And I think that struck in the San Fernando Valley region of LA, which resulted in 57 fatalities. I mean, these are very devastating events, without a doubt. You know, you had, what was it, Black Monday in the 80s when the stock market crashed? I mean, there's always, we've always had chaos in this country decade after decade. There's no doubt about that. There are some events that we could probably point, like I said, to the 80s as well as the 70s and 60s and going all the way back to the early 20th century. But it certainly looks as if, in my humble estimation, with my own perception, that within the last quarter of the 21st century, right? So since the turn of 2000, the year 2000, events seem to have increased with much intensity. I know I can't be the only one that sees it. And it seems like there's really been no real pause to take a breather between events, really. Now, I have my beliefs. I have my speculations, which I will share on the other half of this show. A lot of my speculation stems from the title of the once long lost manual that we are in the middle of reading. In the next episode that I'm going to be recording is going to be Lesson 6 from the Field Training Manual 2000-25. But this field manual, all right, like I stated in previous podcasts, is a manual that was released by the War Department back in 1928. And I can't state this enough. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because this manual instructs how to return a nation back to a republic from a democracy. And because a republic is what America was and should have always been and never should have ever changed to anything other than what it should have been, which is a Republican form of government. This is what that manual does. It helps restore America. This is called the Operation Blue Book Restore America Plan. This was all under, I think this all was initiated under General Douglas MacArthur initially. This has been a longstanding plan that has been in effect since the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. And if I find and hear information otherwise, I will correct myself, but I believe since the 50s. Now, the 2000-25, think about it. I've asked myself this question. Why is this field manual called 2000-25? Because when you look at other field manuals, in fact, let's just do a quick search real quick. Hold on a second. Let's see. Let's go to Google real quick. List off different field training manual titles for the military. Let's see. So there's, you know, there's field manuals. Like, here's one. Field Manual 1-0 Human Resources Support. Field Manual Operation Terms and Graphics. Then there's Field Manual. Is this what I want here? Hold on. for the military. Hold on a second, guys. Here we go. Let's see. Field manuals. I'm not in the right area here. Come on now. List of United States Army field manuals. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. What do we got here? Oh, field manual. Let's see here. So a lot of these, let's see, I'm just looking, I'm learning something new here. So I'm seeing like a lot of these field manuals, some that are active, some that are inactive. There's like field manual 3-0, right? Which is operations. There's another one called field, let's see here, field manual ADP, United Land Operations, right? So that's got words in it. Here's one. It's a field manual 100-5. Just talks about operations. Another one talks about operations of Army forces in the field with included change number one, field service regulations, operations. Let's see what else we got here. Again, now keep in mind, I did not serve in the military, so I cannot really speak to this really with any expertise, okay? Because again, I don't know exactly how a field manual is put together and what's involved, but some of these do have some titles to it. Field Services Regulations, United States Army, 1910. Okay, yeah. So there's a few of them here that have different titles. Okay. A lot of them authored by Leonard Wood, I'm seeing. Leonard Wood and G.C. Marshall, M.B. Ridgway. So anyway, but I've often grappled with this question of, what exactly? Oh, like here's some more. So like there's field manual 24-1, combat communications. Field manual 21-15, individual clothing and equipment, right? Field manual 3-05.70, U.S. Army survival manual. Then there is a field manual 3-21.8, the infantry rifle platoon and squad, right? So a lot of these have titles to them. Field manual 3-22.5, which is drill and ceremony. There's one for combative, one for urban warfare. That's field manual 90-10. Now, I'm looking at all this on Wikipedia, but I'm very curious. Why is field manual 2000-25 labeled the way that it is? See, just like you see a time frame of someone's life on a tombstone, you have a date of birth when life began and a date of death when life ended, right? And so in between those two dates is a dash. Just like we're seeing dashes here, of course. But when you look at a date, there's a dash which represents the time frame between military, you know, between the beginning, the time frame between the beginning and an end. Now, in my opinion, it would seem like the field training manual, it would seem like the field training manual here. Hold on a second. Computer's acting goofy. Which was released by the War Department, I think provides a detailed framework for executing, you know, again, a military plan, which it is, because it's supposed to restore America, right? Which is a plan aimed at restoring a Republican form of government within a specific time frame. Now, this manual outlines, as we have been reading, a comprehensive strategy encompassing political, institutional, and security aspects of the transition process. Well, transition of what? Transition of the power back to the people, ladies and gentlemen. From a central governing de facto system back to the local, you know, county and state level. And it emphasizes the importance of clear political objectives, which again, in institutional reform, it emphasizes the importance of public outreach and education to garner support for the transition. Now, additionally, it addresses the need for maintaining security and stability throughout the process, while also ensuring respect for civilian authority and constitutional principles. So this manual underscores the significance of international relations, the legal frameworks, transitional justice, and a strategic military deployment in achieving a successful transition. Well, Jason, transition to what? I already told you. Please clean your ears and listen closely. A transition of power from Washington, D.C., and given the power back to the people, like Donald Trump said in his inauguration back in 2017. That dash between the years 2025 in the title is vitally important, as it signifies the span of time during which the strategies and tactics outlined in this manual are intended to be implemented and completed, highlighting the urgency and specificity of the plan's objectives within that time frame. That is my opinion of what that looks like and what that means. Now, let's get into a reading of John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21 real quick. Very important one, of course. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. I love that verse. I love these verses. So, John 3, 16 through 21 teaches a very, very profound message. Yet again, as usual, God never disappoints in this arena, folks. Never will. And the passage teaches about the sacrificial love of God and the redemption offered through Jesus Christ, and the spiritual battle between light and darkness. It emphasizes that God's purpose in sending Jesus was not to condemn the world, but to save it. To save it. Offering eternal life to those who believe in him. However, it also acknowledges that some may reject the light of Christ due to their love for darkness and their sinful deeds. Now, this message remains highly relevant for the world today, as it speaks to the ongoing struggle between good and evil and light and darkness. See, in a world filled with moral ambiguity and shifting values, the call to embrace the truth and walk in the light of Christ is as urgent as ever. I mean, it reminds us that our choices have eternal consequences, and that true freedom and fulfillment are found in following Jesus. So regarding, you know, some of the contemporary issues that we see kind of play out before our eyes right now with certain events like, oh, I don't know, the declaration of Transgender Visibility Day, right, on the day of our resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and the illumination of different landmarks with rainbow lights, as if June wasn't enough of a month for them to do all that. You know, they're trying to overshadow the significance of the resurrection. The message of John 3:16 through 21 provides a powerful perspective. It calls believers to stand firm in their faith and to shine the light of Christ in the world, in a world that's often drawn to darkness, and to boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel, even in the middle of even amidst conflicting messages and distractions. Listen, folks, instead of being discouraged by the prevalence of darkness, we need to you know, listen, Christians need to be called to be beacons of hope. They need to be beacons of, you know, they need to not only be beacons of hope, but they need to be change agents of transformation, right? Pointing others towards the true light of the world. And that true light is always going to be Christ Jesus, whose resurrection that we celebrate every year. Now, I picked the title of this show, 2000 to 2025, obviously for a reason, as you couldn't tell from the opening. But like I said, it just seems like over the last 24 to 25 years coming up, right? Because, you know, a lot of this stuff started in the year 2000. So we're, you know, 24 years in. And obviously, as you all know, next year is, you know, after the new year, we'll be in the year 2025. I think is when we are going to see a culmination of a lot of events play out. And I think we're going to, like I've always said, come summer, going into the election season this year, I think it's going to be, we're going to see a lot of things come out in the open, and these operations by the military and the continuity of government is going to become more overt and in your face and out in the open. And people are going to have no choice but to be like, holy cow, what is going on? I mean, I'm just waiting for the next ship to hit a bridge. Just like when we had that train derailment in East Palestine. How many subsequent events did we have after that? How many train derailments after that did it occur? I'm waiting for, you know, ship number 3 and 4 and 5 to hit. I mean, my Lord. But let's go down memory lane for a minute. What happened in 2000, in the year 2000? We had the Y2K scare. Remember that? As the year 2000 approached, there was that widespread concern about the computer failures and disruptions called the Y2K bug. Remember that? Well, they thought all the computers and lights and the power grid would go down. And then what else was there? But then we had the dot-com bubble, right? In the late 1990s, what went into the 2000s, right? Where the rapid rise in the value of internet-based companies fueled by speculation and investor enthusiasm, you know, all of a sudden collapsed as investor confidence waned and unstable business models were exposed. And the burst of that dot-com bubble led to significant losses in the stock market and marked the end of the internet boom. Then, you know, you got 2001. What happened in 01? Well, you all remember 01, September 11th. Come on now. Yeah, the attacks resulted in deaths of nearly 3,000 people from the World Trade Centers when they went down. And no, I'm not going to say they were attacked by anybody in the Middle East. It was nobody in the Middle East. It was attacked from within by our own de facto government, the cabal, the freaking scumbags in the swamp. September 11th attacks prompted significant changes in our country at that time, from national security policies, including, you know, the launch on the war of quote-unquote terror, right? And the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security. What else happened in 01? Remember the anthrax attacks? I know you remember that, where a series of anthrax-laced letters were mailed to media outlets and government offices in the United States. I remember that. Now, I have my own speculations and my assumptions of who might have been, you know, behind that at that time. But again, I'm not going to say because I have no real definitive proof, but I do have my opinions. And let's just say because September 11th was an inside job, I have a funny feeling that anthrax stuff was maybe possibly a counter attack to, you know, by the good guys to our de facto scumbags who attacked America from within. Because remember, anthrax was going to the media outlets and government offices in D.C. Again, D.C. is a foreign nation to us, ladies and gentlemen. It is foreign. Then in 2002, what did we have in 2002? We had that Enron scandal in bankruptcy, right? Because Enron, remember, Enron was one of the largest energy companies in the world. And that collapsed in 2001 due to an accounting fraud and corporate misconduct. Well, surprise, surprise. You mean a corporation is fraudulent and is subjected to misconduct? No. not a corporation, Jason. Yeah. And that scandal resulted in massive financial losses for investors, employees, and pension holders, and led to increased scrutiny of corporate governance and accounting practices, supposedly. What else happened in 2002? Oh, that's right. The Beltway sniper attacks. Remember that? That occurred in October. Now, that could have been a push to try to, you know, seize our guns. Then what happened in 2003? Then we had the invasion of Iraq, right? March of 2003. Where George Bush Jr. went under the belief that Iraq possessed, you know, WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, and posed a threat to global security. So, oh, we got to go and do, you know, lead an invasion and overthrow Saddam Hussein's regime. But yet that resulted in a prolonged and costly conflict. And it seemed to be, you know, seemed like it went forever and ever and ever and ever. And it resulted in significant loss of life and an ongoing instability in that region. And then what else did we have? Oh, yeah, Space Shuttle Columbia disaster, right? February 1 of 2003, where Columbia disintegrated upon reentry of the Earth's atmosphere, killing all 7 crew members on board. Remember that? Jason, you're bringing up a lot of bad memories. Yes, I know. I'm trying to, again, go down memory lane, because it seems like ever since the turn of the century in 2000, these events increased so much, like a lot. And then you had that Indian Ocean tsunami, which killed hundreds of thousands of people in 2004, the day after Christmas. There was a massive undersea earthquake off the coast of Sumatra, Indonesia, right? Remember that? Some tsunamis reached heights of over 100 feet, devastating coastal communities like Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Thailand, other countries like that. 2005, we had Hurricane Katrina, where New Orleans was pretty much just obliterated. And it caused significant loss of life, loss of property. The response to Hurricane Katrina was criticized for its slow and inadequate relief efforts, particularly in addressing the needs of vulnerable communities. Do I think that was done on purpose? You betcha. What else happened in 2005? Remember Deepwater Horizon, the oil spill? That was a pretty big event on April 20th, 2010. Or wait a minute, was that 20? Hold on a second. I think, so let's see here. No, that wasn't 25. Hold on a second. I may get my dates mixed up here. Maybe that was 2010, Deepwater Horizon. I think that was 2010. Excuse me. Yeah, I believe that was April 20th in 2010 with Deepwater Horizon. I got one of my notes mixed up. My apologies. But still, we'll get to that. Then 2006, what do we have? Amtrak train derailment in Glendale, California. 11 people injured or deceased, 180 is injured. That was a bad crash. 2007, we had the Virginia Tech shooting. And then what else happened in 2007? We had the subprime mortgage crisis that began, right? The subprime mortgage crisis, again, which had, you know, been brewing for several years, and it began to unfold in 2007. And that crisis was characterized by a sharp increase of mortgage delinquencies and foreclosures, which particularly among borrowers with subprime or high-risk loans, and the collapse of that subprime mortgage market triggered a broader financial crisis and contributed to the onset of the Great Recession that we all had to deal with back then. And that had far-reaching consequences for the global economy. 2008, we had the financial crisis and Great Recession that started taking root. That's when everything went kind of full-blown eruption of the financial crisis and the collapse of Lehman Brothers in September of 2008. That sent shockwaves through the global financial system, and that led to a severe credit crunch and stock market turmoil and widespread panic. And that crisis, which was fueled by risky lending practices, Subprime mortgage defaults and complex financial instruments resulted in the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. It was terrible for a lot of people. You know, that Great Recession, as it came to be known, led to a lot of mass layoffs, home foreclosures, bank failures, and a sharp decline in economic activity worldwide. I know a lot of you remember that. That was bad. And then there was that cyclone Nargis that hit Myanmar in 08 in May. And that killed an estimated 138,000 people and left millions homeless. That was a devastating event, which drew international criticism and raised concerns about humanitarian aid delivery and government accountability. What happened in 2009? Swine flu pandemic. Remember that? H1N1? Yeah. They were trying to get something going back then. This was right when Obama was in office. Then you had the Fort Hood shooting in Texas in November of 09. Then what happened in 2010? That BP oil spill, right? Deepwater Horizon. That was the largest marine oil spill in history. There is where that note should have been. And then you had that Haiti earthquake in January. Which had a magnitude of 7.0. And it led to an estimated 230,000 deaths. 230,000 deaths. Remember that? Leaving millions homeless there. Now, I think there's a bigger story behind all that. Child trafficking, human trafficking. Haiti is a very, very big country when it comes to all that. Why do you think Hillary Clinton is heavily involved down there? That earthquake triggered a massive crisis, which I think there was more behind that than meets the eye. Then 2011, what do we have? Joplin tornado. Remember that? An EF5 tornado struck Joplin, Missouri, with winds exceeding over 200 miles an hour, carved a path of destruction through that city, destroying thousands of homes, businesses, resulted in 161 fatalities, 1,000 injuries, making it one of the deadliest tornadoes in U.S. history. One of the deadliest. And the recovery and rebuilding efforts in Joplin continued for years following that disaster. What else happened in 2011? Fukushima. Remember that? Fukushima nuclear disaster. There was that. What happened in 2012? Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. You remember that? Oh, what else happened in 2012? Hurricane Sandy. Remember that? It pretty much obliterated the entire East Coast from Florida all the way up to Maine. Sandy was one of the largest and most destructive hurricanes in recorded history, impacting multiple states in between Maine and Florida. It resulted in billions of dollars in damages and displacement of thousands of people. Ladies and gentlemen, why am I bringing this up? I'm going to take a break here for a second. Why am I bringing all this up? Because in disaster, in war, comes rebuilding. And when it comes rebuilding, it means profit, making money for the cabal. They make money from devastation and chaos and destruction. They make money when they destroy things. They take lives, homes. They fund both sides of the war when it comes to wars. You think this is just all coincidence that we are having record historical severity with hurricanes and tornadoes and the turn of the first quarter of the 21st century? Give me a break. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. 2013, we had the Boston Marathon bombings on April 15th. Remember that? With the Zarnoff brothers? And then April 17th, you had the West Fertilizer Company that exploded right there in West Texas. What was it, Waco maybe? Killing 15 people, injuring hundreds of others, causing huge, again, widespread damage to nearby buildings and homes. And this incident, quote unquote, right, raised concerns about safety regulations and oversight of chemical facilities in the United States. Oh, look at that. We need to have more oversight. We need to create more government outreach and NGOs, right, to have more corporate governance by de facto governance. What happened in 2014? Ebola. I know you remember Ebola. Supposedly it caused, you know, 11,000 deaths. Nobody really knows. But it affected and occurred, you know, West Africa, you know, primarily affecting, you know, Guinea, Liberia, and the Sierra Leone. What else happened in 14? Oh, that's right. Flint water crisis. Remember that? Where the water source from Detroit water system and to the Flint River. Yeah, remember that? I know you remember that. 2015, you had the Charleston church shooting again. Another ploy to try to take our guns while they try to enslave the people. Then you had the California wildfires that destroyed thousands of homes. And then what, 2016 occurred? What did we have in 2016? Oh, Pulse nightclub shooting. Now, I don't care what you are, LGBTQ plus, whatever. Nobody deserves to die at the hands of a psycho. But 49 people were killed and dozens were injured in that situation in Orlando. Now, again, could that have been a false flag? It's possible. And then August of 2016, you had severe flooding in Louisiana that, that heavy rainfall led to severe flooding in parts of the southern Louisiana area, particularly in Baton Rouge metropolitan area and surrounding parishes. Again, leading to 13 fatalities and billions of dollars in damages. See, the death is just a bonus for these evil monsters. What they're going for is the billions of dollars in damages. Why? Because if they can declare a state of emergency, that means they can funnel money in these areas for the taking. It's their funding. But see, people don't want to look into that. They're like, oh, that's a conspiracy, Jason. Okay. Okay. What happened in 2017? Well, you had Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, Maria, right? Hurricane Harvey caused catastrophic flooding in Houston, Texas, while Irma and Maria devastated Puerto Rico and other parts of the Caribbean. Remember, Puerto Rico is part of the de facto corporate governing. It's one of their states, right? And these hurricanes resulted in significant loss of life. And what else, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, that's right. Extensive property damages. Again, because they make money off that. They profit off this. We had a lot of mass shootings. What occurred in 2017? The first year old Trumpy, Mr. Donald John Trump, became president. Oh, that's right. The Las Vegas shooting, which became the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. At the Harvest Music Festival, left 58 people dead, hundreds injured. It was one of the most notable, sadly, mass shootings in 2017. And then, you had the first Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas that occurred. And then you had the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport shooting that occurred. I mean, this is all in Donald John Trump's first year of being president. What happened in 2018? More school shootings. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. That was right up the road from where I used to live. In fact, when I was part of the running club, I used to run past that high school. That left 17 people dead, sparked nationwide protest for gun reform. Again, trying to go after the guns because they knew what was happening with the General Jural Assemblies. They knew that back in 2010, 2011, when the people issued 21 requisitions to the military, they knew what was happening. They knew that the people were rising up. They knew that the General Jural Assemblies were rising up. They knew that we were going to take power away from them. They knew. Why do you think they were hell-bent on trying to take away our guns and try to sow all this chaos? They were trying to disturb Operation Restore America. Operation Blue Book, the Restore America plan. They were trying to thwart those efforts. Then you had that Santa Fe High School shooting in Texas, and then the Great Mills High School in Maryland. Then you had more fires in California that occurred in 2018, right? From a so-called campfire in Butte County there in California, right? Became the deadliest and most destructive of wildfires in the state's history. Again, fueled by strong winds and dry conditions, the town of Paradise and surrounding areas were devastated, and it resulted in 85 fatalities. Again, a bonus for them, but again, here we go, destroyed thousands of homes and structures, caused billions of dollars in damages, underscoring the growing threat of wildfires and exacerbated by climate change. Billions of dollars, again. Trying to put in a declaration of, you know, state of emergency so they can get funding. More money, more money for them. What happened in 2019? More mass shootings, right? You had the Gilroy Garlic Festival in California. You had the Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and the municipal building in Virginia Beach, Virginia, right? These were all the events that reignited, again, debates over gun control and public safety. Again, trying to take the guns. More immigration crisis, right? The U.S. faced an immigration crisis in 2019 with tensions that escalated over the border security and the treatment of migrants, particularly at these detention facilities, supposedly. Then we had the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, which occurred in December of 2018. And went into January 2019, lasting 35 days, and that shutdown was stemmed from a budgetary impasse over funding for a border wall, resulting in significant disruptions to government services and financial hardships for federal workers and contractors. Good, starve them out. They're stealing our money anyways. They starve us out. Let them be starved out. What was this in 2000? So that was 2019. I think at this point, Executive Order 13818 had been already written at this point, had been declared by Donald John Trump. What else happened in 2019? Oh, yeah, measles outbreak, which was, you know, again, we saw the most outbreaks in 2019 that was reported since 1992. Again, these outbreaks were sparking concerns over vaccine hesitancy. Again, trying to get us to take that shot, right? Trying to push that public health preparedness, trying to groom the American populace for the scamdemic that we would know as COVID. Then you had the college admission scandal. It was also known as Operation Varsity Blues, right? That came to light in 2019. That scandal involved a lot of wealthy parents, including celebrities and business leaders, paying bribes to secure admission for their children into elite colleges and universities. I mean, come on. Oh, that's right. And the Notre Dame Cathedral fire in Paris. Remember that? We're almost done, folks. We're in 2020 now. What happened in 2020? Well, we saw some significant California, you know, fires in California and Washington and Oregon. Then we saw the economic downturn of COVID-19 scamdemic. It led to the world basically being shut down, caused significant economic disruptions, including job losses, business closures, stock market volatility. I mean, the price of oil went into the negative, resulting in economic downturn, caused financial hardships for millions upon millions upon millions of Americans. And some of you are probably still hurting from that yet. We had civil unrest because of the George Floyd protest. We had cities going up in smoke, Black Lives Matter, just graffitiing everything, not understanding really, people weren't really understanding what that means. Well, Jason, you sound a bit racist. No, all lives matter. Black, brown, purple, white, indigenous, it don't matter. We had a ton more natural disasters that occurred, from, you know, hurricanes to tornadoes that caused significant disruptions across different parts of this country. What happened in 2021? Oh, January 6th and that BS crap. Oh, and that's right, February. What happened in February of 2021? That's right, the Texas power grid failure. that severe winter weather, including snowstorms and freezing temperatures, caused that catastrophic failure of Texas power grid. Millions of residents were left without electricity and heat for days, even weeks, leading to widespread suffering, property damage, hello, loss of life, a bonus for them. And the crisis highlighted vulnerabilities in the state's infrastructure and energy systems, as well as the need for better preparedness for extreme weather events. What else happened? More factories and farm fires escalate in frequency. 2022, what happened there? Russia invades Ukraine. Okay, that's just a cleanup, but that's what they want you to believe, that Russia invaded Ukraine. Then there was the attempt to spread the narrative of the Omicron variant of COVID-19, right? That was a big major flop because people started realizing, hey, big government, you're full of crap and we're done with your BS. Then 2023, more rising tensions in the Middle East, more economic challenges due to inflation and the supply chain issues. Oh, that's right. How could we forget that train derailment in East Palestine and all the subsequent train derailments thereafter? What else happened in 2023? Oh, that's right. Lahaina, Hawaii wildfires. How quickly we forget. Did we ever figure out what happened to all those missing children in Hawaii? Where did they go? Do we even know where they went? Did they get into the wrong hands of the pedophile human trafficking scumbag circles? Do we even have an accounting of those missing children that did not return back to school after things kind of settled down? Can anyone in Hawaii email me and give me some insight on this? hishardline@gmail.com. I'm curious. I don't want to speculate. I want to know from people who live there locally on the ground. I'm sure I'm missing other events. I'm just trying to get through a lot of them before an hour is up. And then finally 2024, all right? We're only what? We're going into the fourth month of the year, but all this of, you know, stuff comes out about Sean P. Diddy Combs, right? His house being raided by DHS because of his implications of human trafficking and sex with minors and drugging minors and money laundering and things like that. And of course, we have the Texas wildfires that's happening right now and the border invasion crisis again, happening again. And then a shipping container boat colliding with a bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse. Again, freak accident or not, I don't know. But all these events make you scratch your head and makes you ask yourself, we have seen a lot more extreme intensity in events and chaos, from manipulated weather events to attempted gun grabs over the years, to supposed terrorist attacks, to domestic terrorism with burning down our cities and causing loss of life. And again, loss of property, billions of dollars in property damage, again, causing the de facto government and the scumbags who run it to declare a state of emergency. Why? So they can get money, because they are running out of it. Is this why maybe the field training manual was called Field Manual 2000-25? Because perhaps this was the time frame, the date range, the year range that Operation Restore America, right? Operation Blue Book, the Restore America plan was supposed to be completed. It would make sense considering the extreme intensity of events that have occurred since 2000, all the way up and going into 2024 and into 2025. I think there's a reason for it, which is why Donald John Trump, our current commander-in-chief, I don't care what you say, evidence points to him still being commander-in-chief. I think there's a reason why he said that this is the final battle. Think about it, folks. But Jason, you don't really have hard proof of any of this. Big deal. You went down a timeline of chronological events that occurred in U.S. history and world history. Whoop-dee-doo. You know how to read history. Maybe. Maybe this is something, maybe it's not. I don't know. All I'm saying is you have to raise the questions. You have to ask yourself, have things seemed to be ever increasing in intensity since the year 2000? 9/11 was the tipping point. because they already had the Patriot Act written up, what was it, 3 or 4 years prior to its release. All of a sudden, 9/11 happens. Oh, boom. Hey, look, we got this piece of legislation called the Patriot Act, which allows us to spy on Americans. You think that was by accident, folks? Come on, that was to try to figure out what the military was doing, because what the Assembly of People basically ultimately did, the General Jural Assembly, is with the 21 requisitions, ultimately what, and again, speaking vaguely and, you know, with broad paint strokes here, and I've read this from the 2018 timeline on the MichiganDeJure.org website, that the military, which are also referred to as citizens, were given a civilian authority by the people in the General Jural Assembly. Well, Jason, what exactly does that mean? That means that we, the people in assembly, hereby gave authority to citizens, aka service members of certain elite special forces groups, to be involved and have authority as a civilian while being active in the military, having civilian authority, helping to assemble our General Jural Assemblies. And the reason they have the Patriot Act is so they can try to spy and tap into everybody's phone calls and internet browsing to see what is going on. What is our plan? What is the, what are their plans? Again, I'm just trying to piece, you know, I'm just trying to connect dots here. Could I be way off base on all this? Maybe. But my gut instinct is telling me I'm not. It's telling me I'm not. And I think people are starting to wake up more and more, and they're going to realize just exactly how corrupt the system is. People may think they know how corrupt their system is, but I don't think they really know, to be quite honest with you. I don't think people really realize how corrupt this de facto system really is. But guess what? Whether they're ready for it or not, crap's about to get real. I think things are about to become more overt and in our face. Again, I can't stress it enough, folks. Prepare with extra food provisions. Prepare with extra cash on hand in case ATMs go down. Prepare with guns and ammo for self-protection. Have water for at least a week to 2 weeks. You want to at least have 2 to 3, 4 weeks, all right? Minimum 2 weeks. No more than, you don't want to have anything less than 2 weeks. You might want to get out of the major metropolitan areas, big cities. That's going to be the most dangerous spot. You know, those are going to be the most dangerous spots in America. Well, Jason, what do you know? I don't know a thing. I know a little bit of a little bit based on the breadcrumbs that I'm given, but that's about it. The rest is up to me to try to do my own digging and research to try to connect the dots and to piece the puzzle together. And guess what? That is up to everybody else out there too. When are people going to wake up? If you want to know more on how to get involved with your General Jural Assembly, you can go to national-assembly.net. That's www.national-assembly.net. You want to know more information and you want to, you know, you have questions, you can email Destry. All right. Destry is a good conduit to get you connected to the right people in your respective state or the, you know, the right people. You can email him at contentmanager1@yahoo.com. That's contentmanager1@yahoo.com. And with that, let's close in a prayer. All right. Whew. A lot of stuff. Dear Heavenly Father, with hearts overflowing with gratitude, we come before you on this day of celebration, rejoicing in the wondrous gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for his selfless sacrifice on the cross, through which we are redeemed and reconciled to you. We thank you, Jesus, for your boundless love that knows no end, for willingly laying down your own life so that we may have eternal life. Your resurrection fills us with hope and joy, knowing that death has been conquered and that we are set free from sin and darkness. Lord, in the middle of the world's distractions and challenges, we are still forever grateful for the light of your truth that guides our path and illuminates our lives. And we ask that you always help us to always remember the magnitude of your sacrifice and to live each day with hearts full of praise and thanksgiving. And as we celebrate your resurrection, may our hearts overflow with joy, our lips with songs of praise, and our lives with acts of love and service. May we be beacons of your light in a world that desperately needs it, shining brightly with hope and joy that comes from knowing you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your unfailing love and your boundless grace. And we pray all this in your holy Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hard Line, we are firm, we are steadfast, and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again, because it is our duty to hold that line. For the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy and complacency and fear and doubt, anxiety. It wants us hopeless. And it aims to enslave us mentally, keeping us there, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, hindering our progress towards self-governance, and to destroy our self-procured relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let us remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time. And as always, it was a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. His Hardline Podcast. Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives, such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.